D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. And I don't like to make this show about me because it is D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. But I heard something yesterday on these airwaves that I absolutely must respond to. And Willie and Derek have been kind enough to indulge me for a few moments.
So get it off your chest, brother.
Yesterday, after we left Hermitage Golf Course, Jared Stillman took over for Stillman & Company, and he started his program with a lecture. He lectured sports fans on being too unfair to their teams when they lose in the playoffs. David, if you will, here is a snippet of what Jared Stillman had to say.
And this goes back to the fact that I spent all weekend in Toronto, where everybody, and I mean everybody, was like, oh, the Maple Leafs, they choked, they stink, they always break our hearts, they need to blow the team up. And I'm sitting there, again, my team, the Predators, they're the third worst team in the NHL. And I'm like, blow the team up? They got to game 7 of the second round against the team that has been to the Stanley Cup final each of the last 3 years. And they murdered, and I mean murdered, Carolina in 5 games. Choke? And then Adam Vingan, and I heard that he talked about this on the Midday Show today, starts blowing my phone up about how if the Predators had the core four like Toronto did and they couldn't get past the second round, I'd want them to blow the team up too, which I don't believe to be true. But let me just say, let's get a core four and then let's see. But this takes me again to the crux of today's lecture, because that's what this really is, a lecture. And I just, let me just get this out there. I don't feel like I lecture too often, you know, where I'm like, sports fans, you need to sit down today and you need to hear this. But I am going to do it today. Expectations and entitlement.
Okay, so that was part the summary, perhaps.
Thank you for sparing us not hearing the whole lecture, because I am loaded for bear on this one.
All right. So I have to respond to this. Mm-hmm. So Jared is right about one thing, and I'm going to fill in a lot of the blanks that Jared conveniently left out about the Toronto Maple Leafs, so I'll get back to them in a second. I agree with Jared when he says that it is important for sports fans to have the proper perspective when it comes to their teams. But that also depends on the team and the state of the team. David Reed chimed in when he's able to get a word in edgewise, that it's all relative, and I absolutely agree with David Reed on that. Let's look at our local teams, for example, for a moment. Let's say the Tennessee Titans go 6-11 next season. They're not making the playoffs with a 6-11 record, but that will have meant that they doubled their win total from this past season, from 3-6. It also probably means that Cam Ward has shown promise as the Titans' new starting quarterback. So if the Titans go 6-11, and they miss the playoffs again, I don't think a lot of Titans fans are going to be storming St. Thomas Sports Park searching for Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan. When the Predators lost in the playoffs last season in the first round to the Vancouver Canucks, it was a disappointing result because the Predators had an opportunity to win that series. But I don't remember a lot of Predators fans being angry because a lot of people didn't expect the Predators to make the playoffs last season. It appeared they were ahead of schedule. So it was disappointing that the Predators lost to the Canucks in the playoffs, but I don't remember a lot of outrage. Now, this past season, different story. But I'm talking about the 2024 playoffs. So it's all relative, as David Reed said. So this takes me to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So here's just a quick history lesson of the Maple Leafs, recent history. Since 2018, the 2018-19 season, so that's the past 7 seasons, the Toronto Maple Leafs have been led by a group known as the Core Four: Austin Matthews, William Nylander, John Tavares, and Mitch Marner. This past season, the Toronto Maple Leafs had 4 of the 9 highest paid forwards in the NHL. Those 4 forwards were 4 of the 9 highest paid forwards in the NHL. And that group was supposed to lead the Maple Leafs back to the Stanley Cup, which, by the way, Toronto has not won since 1967. Willie, a little bit of crowd participation here. The Toronto Maple Leafs have made the playoffs in all of those seasons, all seven seasons. How many times have the core four Maple Leafs made the conference final?
Zero.
Correct. Zero for seven. How many times have those Toronto Maple Leafs made it out of the first round?
Two.
Twice. Two for seven. Again, some context that Jared Stillman conveniently left out. The Maple Leafs' record in winner-take-all games in the core four era, so that means either game sevens or, in the case of the COVID playoffs, game fives. 0 for 6, but I'm sure they'll figure it out next year. Jared says, they're close. They were right there with the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Florida Panthers, who are stone cold killers. And the Panthers are an outstanding team. They're back in the Stanley Cup final for the third year in a row. They're looking to repeat as Stanley Cup champions. The Maple Leafs lost Game 5 and Game 7 in Toronto by a combined score of 12-2. They lost both games 6-1. By the way, the 5-goal loss in Game 7 was tied for the largest margin of defeat by a home team in NHL history. So, yeah, real close. So, again, it's all about having the proper perspective, and it's relative. Maple Leafs fans have absolutely every right to be pissed. And I would be, too, if I were a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, because that organization kept running it back and running it back and running it back, and this year will be different, and this year will be different, and it never was. So as Jared and I have been bickering about this for days, one of his retorts was, would you trade Josh Allen because the Buffalo Bills haven't made it to the Super Bowl? Well, first of all, Josh Allen has at least made it to two conference championship games, which the Toronto Maple Leafs cannot say. And if I were a Bills fan, I would be mad that my MVP quarterback can't beat Patrick Mahomes when it counts. Do you think Bills fans, after the Bills lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game, said, well, how can we be mad? It's Patrick Mahomes. Oh, well, good year. No. And they absolutely should not feel that way. I know there are other teams with great players, but if you are a great team, you're supposed to break through at some point. So I think what Jared said yesterday, it was a crock of crap. And I want to end it on this. There was a time when Jared and Caroline were doing their show, when Jared would play this clip from Eric Dickerson over and over and over again. He took it as gospel. David James, will you please play that clip for me?
In LA, we want to win. We don't want to almost win. And they say, oh man, if we'd have had another quarter, if this wouldn't happen, I say, that's what losers say.
So what Jared Stillman admitted to all of you yesterday is that it is okay to almost win. So Jared, I don't know if Eric Dickerson is listening, probably not, to quote Mike Vrabel, but Eric Dickerson would be so disappointed in you. That's all I have to say.
I find it interesting because I find myself, I think the fans sometimes have a hard time balancing the disappointment with the next level to me, and that is that season was a failure. Like it's always been Buster Olney from ESPN was the guy that was the first person I heard that heard the phrase, the George Steinbrenner approach. Mm-hmm. Either you win the whole thing or you stink. It's not, there's no in between. Our expectation is to win. If you don't win, I don't care how close you came. I don't care who you lost to. It's a failure. Mm-hmm. That's what I have a problem with. The disappointment level is natural, but do you have the perspective to separate it? But I find it ironic that Jared is giving the speech, the lecture, the lecture, because when the Titans were the number one seed in 2021, I believe that was, and they lost to the Bengals, and Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions, Jared went on a campaign to get rid of Ryan Tannehill by any means necessary, to a point where it was going off the rails. He said on Joe Rexrode and Robbie Stanley's show that he would trade Tannehill and He would trade Kevin Byard and three first round picks to get Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And then he said, we'll figure out how to get rid of Tannehill at that point. That was how extreme his take was after that. So this is a new Jared. I don't know what's going on with Jared. He's a dad now. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, that could have changed him. Could change him a tad bit.
If he's seeing things in a new light, okay. That I think maybe that's evolution. Maybe that's progress.
I mean, listen, you can't.
But he's the king of the guy of saying, yeah. Tear it down. That's terrible.
Tear it down. It's over with. He had enough
the extreme take.
As he mentioned in that clip, I told him as we were bickering over text that if you just took what's been going on in Toronto and plopped it down in Nashville, that the Predators had four of the highest paid forwards in the NHL.
Well, he'd be ready to dismantle them by now.
And they couldn't get to the conference final, he would be pissed. He goes, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, he would be pissed.
I don't believe that for a single solitary second.
If they had Mitch Marner and Nylander.
And Matthews and
Tavares. And they were not advanced. Hell, he's on them, and he's on UC Soros because he hadn't won a series. Just imagine if they had these four guys and didn't advance.
Right. Like, the Edmonton Oilers are back in the Stanley Cup final. Connor McDavid has never won the Stanley Cup. It might happen in a couple of weeks, but Connor McDavid has never won the Stanley Cup. But the Oilers are back in the Stanley Cup final for the second year in a row. And correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, they have been to the conference final three of the past 4 years. That's right there. That's close. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Maple Leafs, again, in this era, have never even made the conference final. When the chips are on the table, winner take all games, they choke. And yes, losing 6-1 at home, when you're up 2-0 in the series, by the way, the Maple Leafs led that series 2-0, and they were winning in Game 3. They lost that series. They lost 4 of the final 5 games and lost the final 2 games at home, Games 5 and 7, 6-1 both games. That's choking. So I heard that yesterday, and I, again, I don't like to do this, but I had to. So thank you for doing it.
But have we not heard Jarrett, I feel like, overreact or take extreme takes to break it up? It's not going to work. Break it down. I'm fascinated by Jared's counter
about face.
About
in a sense.
Face, yeah.
Right.
A softer, kindler Jared.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe it's
just a preview. Of
kindler. It's better for the world.
Kindler is not a word. I meant softer, gentler.
Listen, it's better for the world. You know, when Jared's kind.
I kind of want to see him get upset, though. I like it's good radio sometimes.
Man. But listen, I think anyone has a right to be upset, or any fan has a right to be upset when your team, you know, these four individuals are some of the best at their position, but y'all still can't advance and win. What do you think? This is why people are sort of impartial right now with Ant-Man, because of what he said after a game. You know, these chances, man, I think what these young players got to understand, and I thought Jared, you know, understood it too. Like, these things only come around a few times, man. You have a window, and they got some great players. You have a window with great players. And maybe in hockey, that window probably is open a little bit wider because of, you know, these contracts are guaranteed and it's hard to move guys because of the contracts. So maybe, just maybe, you know, the window's a little bit wider, let's say, in hockey rather than, say, football or something like that. But make no mistake, man, when you have opportunities like this, you need to take advantage of them. Because each and every year you don't, that's another year teams are figuring you out. That's another year you're getting older. And that's another year you are more susceptible to an injury to one of these guys. So when you have players of this magnitude and you're not winning, why do you think, I mean, that Buffalo Bill team will go down as being the greatest losers of all time? It just is. And not because of what they did during the regular season, at least in my mind. Not because of what – they were great during the regular season, and they were great in the playoffs until they got to the Super Bowl. They have – no team has had, I don't think – well, in recent years, let's say the last 20 years, no team has had four opportunities to win a Super Bowl and lost all four of them. And what happened to the Bills since then? They haven't been able to make it back to the Super Bowl. So, man, when you have an opportunity to advance, when you have great players, you need to advance and you need to try to win a championship when that core four is still young enough and playing at a high level, because eventually everybody else catches up. And then just by some stroke of unluckiness, one of those guys get hurt or two of them get hurt. Then where do you sit?
Let's quickly go back to the Dallas Stars. We opened the show talking about the Dallas Stars losing to the Edmonton Oilers. The Dallas Stars went to the Stanley Cup final during the bubble playoffs, and they've lost in the conference final each of the past 3 years. And I'm not saying blow the team up, but if I'm Dallas, I'm having some hard conversations. Perhaps it's changing the coach, especially after what he said about the goalie. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's relative. It's relative. That's the word. I heard David Reed say that, and I was like, that's right. It's all relative.
It's so hard to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask this to Elliot. You know, two of the best teams in the last, I would say, 20 years. Or if you want to take it back to the beginning of the salary cap era, I would say the Panthers. And I would even stretch it out to three teams. The Panthers, the Lightning, and the Bruins have probably been three of the most successful teams of the salary cap era. Definitely, in terms of runs, the Panthers and the Lightning stand out. And those are the teams that the Maple Leafs haven't been able to get through. So how does that affect your perspective?
Because I hear disappointment.
I completely understand.
Yes,
be able to break through there one time, but it's not like you're losing to teams that you're way, way better than.
I understand that. I understand that they play in a tough division, that they've run into the Lightning, who they beat, by the way, in one of the first round series they actually won, and the Panthers and the Bruins. But it's the same thing I say with the Buffalo Bills. Eventually, if you want to be considered a great team, you have to beat other great teams.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
So, yep. Like, I hear that. Jared's made that same argument as well, because we've been talking about the Hurricanes and how the Hurricanes in the Metropolitan Division haven't had as hard of a time, because you could say the quality of competition in that division in the first two rounds of the playoffs is different than in the Atlantic Division. So I understand that. But again, I go back to the example of the Bills. The Bills rule the AFC East, but what is Josh Allen, 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? Eventually, you got to beat the guy. I know that Patrick Mahomes is a living legend, but eventually, if you want to be
another good one.
You want to be a legend, you got to get past him.
How about the Hurricanes? That's another one. Very consistent. They've gone beyond where the Leafs have gone. Mm-hmm. They've won the first round like every year, and now they've won two rounds several times, but they hit a wall in the Final Four, and they can't get over the hump. There's so many mountains to climb to get all the way to the top of the top mountain. Mm-hmm. I always side with, man, it is hard to win. And winning the whole thing is a special, special thing that is just not as easy as it sounds, I think.
Yeah, you got opportunities, man. You just got to take advantage of them, especially when you have really good players at a point of their career where, okay, if we're going to win, we need to win now. And you come up short each and every time, then, yeah, you tend to think, okay, what is it that we need to do? Because obviously, you know, with these four individuals, we haven't been able to take that next step with these four guys. So what do we need to do as an organization to make it happen? And fans have a right to be upset. Because, listen, yeah, it's all fun and sweet right now because you're making the playoffs. But teams are getting better behind you, and teams are continually to get better in front of you. And if you don't take advantage of it while you have an opportunity to, it may not come back around. There's a reason why, you know, I walked into that locker room and I saw guys crying when we lost the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking, like, man, we should be we're good, man. I'm disappointed we lost, but – man, I was like, look at the players we got. We're good. Well, I see why they were crying, those older guys, because it's hard to get there. It's hard to get back. It's hard to win it. So, yeah, Jared, you're a little soft on us now, man. Goodness.
I'm telling you, if Eric Dickerson knew about this, I don't know if he could handle it. He would be extremely disappointed because what I heard from Jared yesterday was that fans of our teams here and fans of other teams, because I know that a lot of people here, they're fans of the Predators, they're fans of the Titans and other teams in other sports.
I think if Eric Dickerson was sitting next to Jared, he'd get Eric Dickerson would give him the whole knee slap. Like Coach Saban did.
I
have been criticized over the years because I think my philosophy is how I laid it out. It's closer to Jared's thing. I've been criticized a lot. I get a lot of pushback when I say, well, you know, it's tough. It's tough to win it. Like, team loses in the Sweet 16. Like, hey, man, it's a pretty good year to get to the Sweet 16. Right. It's not easy to get to the Sweet 16. What are you talking about? You can't be satisfied with just going to the Sweet 16.
I will quickly use a personal example. All of you know how much I love Duke basketball. This regular season, the ACC tournament, it was a highly entertaining season. It was such a pleasure to watch Cooper Flagg, among others, play for my favorite team. And then we saw what happened at the end. And do you think my initial reaction was, hey, Houston is a fabulous team. No shame in losing to Houston. No, I was pissed because Duke choked. Now, am I calling for John Shire to be fired? No, but I'm hopeful that Shire will learn from what happened against Houston. And the next time Duke is in that situation, they'll handle it better. But that entire season that I really enjoyed, I will not remember it fondly. Because of how it ended. So when you have high expectations for your teams that should have high expectations, I think it's perfectly fine to hold them accountable. And I just want to say again, Jared, I had to get that off my chest. But fans,
we're going to play this lecture next time he destroys a team that has a devastating loss in the playoff.
Fans of Nashville.
We're going to play the lecture.
Fans of Nashville.
That's going to be fun.
Yes.
Jared Stillman told
Save
you.
Save that, David. Save the lecture.
Jared Stillman told you yesterday that it's okay to almost win. 615-737-1025. All right. I've said my piece. It's time for Ask D-Mace. Derek will now take the spotlight as he should. 615-737-1025. Questions for Derek? Mostly anything is on the table. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal of the week is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there we go. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now, D-Mace. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So if you have a question for Derek, call us or text us right now. Our lines are open. Let's start with our good friend Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, your dad joke and your question, please.
Well, one quick thing I just want to give you guys an update on. My interview at the Publix went very well on Wednesday. The earth I'll probably hear is either by the end of the day today or at the latest by the end of the day Monday. So I'm still waiting to hear back from them because they've got other interviews to do. But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Good luck. Hopefully everything works out.
Yeah. So here's my dad joke. And this is an old one that you may have actually heard this one before. I'm not going to say it's my best dad joke, but it's one I've heard. And I think it's pretty funny, but I think you'll like it. What is the difference between outlaws and in-laws?
The difference between outlaws and in-laws?
Yes.
Nothing.
No. Outlaws are wanted.
I like that one.
Not bad.
Even though I love my in-laws.
Yes.
I loved my in-laws. Well, I still love them. So there you go.
Okay. So, guys, my Ask D-Mace question is this. Of course, everybody's been popping up in the news again. This whole offense with the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers and about whether or not he's going to be quarterback. And, of course, Terry Bradshaw went off and stuff like that. I don't know if I would have went in the way he did, but I will say this. I think one of the things somebody says, I think a lot of the Steelers fans are definitely feeling like this, that why are we going after this guy? And this is an organization that traditionally does make moves like this. And also, of course, they've gotten rid of guys who have been problem people in the past, like Antonio Brown, and they, of course, just traded George Pickens. And you're wondering why they're going to make a move like this, if they're this desperate, that they're going to bring in a guy who's all about drama, maybe only for a year, and maybe, I guess, it's feeling that's their best option. Just be mates. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Guys, as always, it's great to talk to you guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Pittsburgh is one of those teams. They may be problem adverse. And when I say that, I mean this. They've had their problems, and they've been documented with their receivers. But it never got in the way of them winning. That's the weird part about it. We've seen the end. They went down a list of malcontents that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had in their locker room when it comes to wide receivers. But yet still, they never missed the playoffs. They've always had a winning record. I think they may have missed the playoffs a few times since Tomlin's been there. But he's always managed to keep that to a temperature where it doesn't, like, affect us, you know, like it would other teams. We've seen it. We've seen the outburst that set some of the players. But yet and still, Pittsburgh has been able to just keep trucking. And I guarantee you that's the way they feel now. And maybe it's the arrogance. I don't know. But they, in their minds, they feel, listen, Aaron Rodgers, we want him. He knows we want him. We ain't going to keep on yelling it. He comes when he want to come. I think that's truly how they feel. And if he comes, then okay, we're going to roll with it. And whatever issues that may come up, we know how to deal with them because we dealt with them before. But we need a quarterback. And if he doesn't come, it's like, okay. I think people are such an uproar, not necessarily Aaron Rodgers. It's because the Pittsburgh Steelers hadn't done anything. They went and got Mason Rudolph as a backup plan. And their fans and even Terry Bradshaw is thinking, like, Mason Rudolph as a backup plan? Like, okay. All right, now y'all waiting on Aaron Rodgers now. Okay, I mean, I think people are disappointed because they have not done anything significant, and they're just waiting on Aaron Rodgers, and that's the part. Because it seems like Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of three or four years have had every team that he's played for, and it's been two, sitting back and waiting on him to see what he's going to do.
Here's a question from Chris in Clarksville, and I think this would be a good one for Willie to get involved too. Derek, which movie of all the football movies is the closest representation to actual college or NFL experience?
Oh, man. Not Any Given Sunday, I tell you that.
All right, let's just start naming the movies, because I'll defer to you because okay. You're the guy that played. You would be the guy that, because I did not play college or pro football, but... So we're talking specifically college or pro, right? So Remember the Titans doesn't count.
No.
Friday Night Lights doesn't count.
Any Given Sunday, Derek mentioned.
Any Given Sunday.
How about We Are Marshall? Would that count?
Well, that was a real life story.
Okay, yeah. So that's true.
That was an attempt to do a document or, docudrama.
It has to be fictional.
Then you got Rudy.
It has to be fictional. Rudy, but that's also kind of a docudrama.
The program.
Maybe they did some the program.
The water boy. Very realistic.
Yeah.
Very. Like,
okay, here's the one that here's the traditional one that people bring up.
Draft Day.
North Dallas 40. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. That's a 70s movie.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
It was a book that was, a pretty noteworthy book that got people's attention. They made a movie out of it. Nick Nolte was in it. I've only seen it's very 70s. I would say that.
I think
it deals with playing hurt. Kind of the primitive stuff they had back then. Stick a needle in your knee with a painkiller, tape it up. Just not the advancements in the medical field that you have today.
I think there are several movies that sort of have, a hint of truth. I think Jerry Maguire was one of those, like, the from the relationship of the player and the agent. You know, that relationship, we can say some of that is true. So there's some truth in that in regards to the, you know, in regards to agent player, Jerry Maguire. So you could take a little bit of that.
Okay.
You could take a little bit of, you know, you can even take a little bit of remember the Titans. And I know it was a high school team, but it's getting guys together. Essentially, it's like, offense, defense. No, now we're going to merge because we're trying to build a team. So it's no longer offense versus defense. I know and remember the Titans is more so of a racial thing, and he was trying to, you know, break that line and get them together, play together as a team, and he was able to. It's not a color line in the NFL. It's a offense and defensive line and how to get both sides playing together and holding each other accountable. So I think there is truth in some of these movies. Like a lot of these movies, I think it's so overboard that, you know, it just drowns out any truth that may be in there because it's so overboard. It's like, no, I mean, kind of, but no, because you went so overboard that now it becomes not nowhere true. So I guess there are movies that have, you know, truth to it in a sense. But I think all of it is just a glorification.
I want to submit two television shows quickly. Mm-hmm. Jay from Laverne points out Ballers, the show that was on HBO/Max with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And here's my submission. Remember the show Playmakers on ESPN?
That was very controversial at the time. Yes. That was while you were playing.
Yeah, it was while I was playing. Yeah.
They sort of discontinued it, right?
Yeah, because I think, too, it was hyperbolic. They were going so far overboard.
Yes.
There was like,
that was
even
the thing
player
the
was like, that, no, it's not like serious. It's not like that. As I want people to understand this. What you see on Sundays, what you see on social media, what you see these clips, that's not all of the NFL. That is 10% of the NFL. The rest of the stuff, they won't let you see. And it's not because it's bad. It's all strategy. All the stuff that goes on in those buildings. It's so much more than just I don't think a movie can totally in 2 hours encapsulate what truly goes on in the world of athletics.
Jay from Laverne also says All-American.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's when the kid... But All-American was sort of different. It was true from this standpoint. Inner city kid, great athlete, the private school, do everything they can to get him there. That is true. They do it every year. And this kid was commuting on All-American. He was commuting from one side of the town to the other. And then it got to a point, I don't want to be a spoiler, but it's so old. All-American's old. That... The coach ended up being his father, you know, and found all that. But his father had remarried, was living a much better life than what he had. But he ended up going from, let's just say, he crossed the tracks and went to a private school. So that is true. But then once you take that and you sort of, you know, expand it and it becomes, you know, nothing what it actually is, it morphs into something that is not. That's when it's hard to say, man, come on, y'all not really doing justice to the game. Y'all started off well, but now it's going to something that doesn't happen in football.
I think Little Giants was pretty
I love Little Giants.
Okay.
I would have loved to see somebody dip their head under their pads.
On the way to the
not
break.
Get hit.
How was Eric's dad joke today? Was it pretty good?
It was good. I liked it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
Let me see if this tops it, okay?
All right.
I want you to ponder this. As we go to the break, maybe this will be the walk-off, right?
Give us the punchline. Don't give us the punchline. We'll do it on the other
side. There's no
punchline.
Oh,
very
okay.
Simple. Three guys walk into a bar. The fourth one ducks.
615-737-1025. We will continue Ask D-Maze coming up next. So if you have more questions, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Also, speaking of texting us, the PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025, and you can be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's time for Ask D-Maze, but if you don't mind, there's a reason James is playing this song. I do want to tell a funny story, and I would love to get Derek's reaction to it. So when I was younger, I would go to, you know, overnight camp, sleepaway camp in the summer. So I would go to camp, and I would be there for 2 or 3 weeks. And at the camp I went to, there was a girl who went around the same time I did every summer. Her name was Emmy Tappan. And Emmy Tappan,
She was the bee's knees?
She was the hot girl at camp. Okay. Let's just put it that way. She was the hot girl
at camp.
She was
the it girl.
Yes. She was the it girl at camp. And one year, there was this kid in my cabin who was crushing on her hard, hard. So one night we had the camp talent show. And this young man, whose name I can't recall, unfortunately, sang that song to Emmy.
From Mario?
Yep. Dedicated it to her. It was one of the most cringeworthy things I've ever experienced. And I can't hear that song. This was 20 years ago. I can't hear this song to this day without thinking about that moment.
They may be married now.
Doubt it.
Well, that's what happened in the Sandlot with Wendy Peppercorn.
Exactly. Exactly. So there you go.
Squints Palidorus. He put the move on the lifeguard.
Oh, man. Jonathan.
They ended up getting married.
Yeah,
apparently.
See? When the there you go. Yeah.
To answer your question about Emmy Tappan and this young man, did they get married? To quote Mike Vrabel, probably not.
Is that because of him or her?
You should have seen her face. She was so embarrassed. It was bad. I feel for her even 20 years later.
It just goes one of two ways. It's either going to be a big grand slam or it's a whiff on three pitches.
Like it's that scene in the Goofy movie where Max pretends to be Powerline and sings to Roxanne and she loves it. But if she didn't love it, boy, would that be awkward. Yes. Thank
Pretty
you.
Much so.
Jonathan in East Nashville says, question for Derek. To what extent should the Titans factor in Cam Ward's input if he advocates for Xavier Restrepo to make the roster?
Is this a code for Jared? Is this one of Jared's people asking?
How often do you think Jared goes to East Nashville, Willie?
He's not an East Nashville, you know.
He is not an East Nashville guy. Fish out of water in our neck of the woods.
Probably so.
Man, how much input should the Titans take from Cam Ward? When it comes to Restrepo making the team, none, honestly, because all the input you need is what you're watching. The quarterback doesn't need to say anything. It's not up to Cam Ward. Did what he thought he should do as a leader, as a friend, because he saw that his guy. He see him every day. He in his mind, he knows how good he is. But he also knows that he ran a 4.8, and that's what didn't get him drafted. If he would have ran a 4.5, he would have got drafted probably fourth, fifth round, maybe sixth. But he didn't. And Cam did, I think, the responsible thing in a sense as a friend. Every room that I walk in, I'm going to say a good word about Xavier because that's my guy, and I believe in him. And if you turn on the tape, what I'm telling you is what you're going to see. Beyond that, nothing. The tape in training camp, the tape in these preseason games will determine whether he makes the team or not. Not Cam Ward, because he goes out there and bomb it, and Cam Ward's still talking for him. Cam Ward lose credibility. The only thing that saves Restrepo is himself. He go out there and ball. Then he opens up a window, opens up an opportunity for him to make the team. That's what's going to do it.
I got one on the text line here. D-Mace, I saw a picture on Twitter of the arm angle that Cam Ward throws from. It's a little bit, you know, three quarters, I guess. You know, he's talked about baseball. It, this texter says, I'm curious how, as a receiver, when the ball comes out at three quarters, you know, that in baseball, he was referencing the movement of pitches. You know, sometimes a guy three quarters, the ball moves. Well, it's hard to hit. Is a guy who throws three quarters, is that ball hard to catch? Does it tail
not,
or anything?
Not necessarily. See, that is an interesting question because it's those little things that you got to get used to. That's why time and repetition is so vital, especially when it comes to quarterback receiver. That's why last year the whole Calvin Ridley, even when D-Hop was out, he missed, you know, he was out, hurt. And people said, no, D-Hop, he fine. No, he needs to read the quarterback. He needs to be able to read the quarterback's body language, how his arm releases on certain routes in certain situations. And when you are just getting used to a quarterback, every quarterback has a different throwing motion that you get used to after a while. That's why for me it was harder with lefties than it was with righties, because I'm so used to right-hand throwers and the way the ball spins off of their hand. And then once you get a left-hander, the ball comes off a little bit different. It comes off opposite of what the right-hander does. So you got to get used to that. So, yes, when you ask that question or when they ask that question, those are things you do pick up. But once it doesn't take long.
Right. So it's eventually, like, you know how it's coming out. Exactly. And you just, the repetition, you get used to it.
Yeah, you just get used to it. Yeah, you adapt to it. But it does take some time getting used to each quarterback, their throwing motion and their mechanics. So,
one texter says, Derek, in honor of the spelling bee, did you ever compete in one? And how did you do?
Yes, I did. We had this conversation before the show started. And I think we're going to talk about the spelling bee, too.
You know, why not now?
Well,
let's bring it to
the floor. We could bring it to the floor now.
We love watching Flip On. We try to get the national vibes of the headlines. You know, Good Morning America, whatever. Everybody was talking about the spelling bee yesterday.
I love the script spelling bee. It's a guilty pleasure. I'm sure nobody is surprised to hear that.
No, not really.
I was thinking about making a joke there. I wanted to make sure we were clear.
I'll make the joke myself. Okay.
Yeah.
So we
just assumed you would.
Okay, this is Ask D-Bay. So you ever, what version of the spelling bee comes to mind? When's the last time you were in a spelling bee?
The last time that yours truly participated in a spelling bee, school spelling bee. It's big. It's huge. I was at the ripe age of about 10, somewhere around there. And my middle school, no, it was my elementary because we went up to fifth grade. So my elementary, fifth grade, had a spelling bee. I came in second. Don't know what the word was that I missed, but I know some girl beat me. And I was upset. I was embarrassed too because I think it was because she ended up spelling the word. So I was embarrassed. I was upset too. But
you're
she
a competitor.
Won.
So you're she, a competitor. Yeah. You didn't want to lose.
She was. See, that was for the. But see, here's the deal. That was for just the school. And if you win that, then you move on to the region. I don't know if I was ready for the region. I may not have been ready for the region had I won.
The next level up.
Yes, that next level. Well, whoo, whoo.
So she might have saved you some.
Yeah, she may have saved me some true embarrassment.
Okay,
yes.
Mine real quick. I the only one I can remember, it was my grade school because I never ever entered one. But I was like cocky. Mm-hmm. I thought I was the smartest. Thought I was going to win. And there was a word where I knew it was either EI or IE. So I tried to go through quick, and I was like P. Yeah, C, E, and it was wrong the way I did it. But I tried to mumble through it so maybe they wouldn't be able to tell if it said I-E or E-I. And they all jumped in. He said it wrong. It was wrong. So they called me out. I was so mad. I was ready to throw like a temper tantrum. Like I was eliminated in the early round on like the first word. Like,
oh, man.
I was crushed. All right, Adam, so now we've saved the best for last.
Yes.
I vividly remember. The word that I lost the spelling bee in, it was either...
You remember the word?
I do. It was either late elementary school or early middle school. I'm going to lean early middle school. So I'll say in that fifth, sixth grade range. I lost on the word appendicitis because I only used one P instead of two. And now I'll never forget how to spell appendicitis. A-P-P-E-N-D-I-C-I-T-I-S.
There you go.
Appendicitis.
So
now
what grade,
if we, now
grade
if we go back
here?
In time,
I'm
you
thinking,
can win.
I'm thinking fifth, sixth grade, somewhere in that range.
Did you ever contemplate going into the scripts and trying to take it all the way?
Have you seen the words that these 13-year-olds
can we play
spell?
The clip of the winning word? Man. I don't know if people have heard this morning. Listen to the word that wins it for this kid.
If you spell this next word correctly, we will declare you the champion of the historic 100th year of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Your word is Eclaircissement.
Eclaircissement.
Excuse me?
E-C-L-A-I-R-C-I-S-S-E-M-E-N-T. Eclaircissement.
That is correct.
Yeah. Shout out.
He knew
on.
He had it. Shout he knew out. He had it. He didn't even ask.
What was that name? Yeah, he didn't even ask the origin.
Yeah.
Can you give a definition?
Now, here's the fun part. Here's the fun part for me. Fun.
He's like,
for
that's
you,
an easy one.
Yes.
For all of you, you're probably like, this doesn't sound like fun at all. But for me, it was fun. So he misspelled a word earlier in the spelling bee. But the other two contestants also misspelled words, so none of them were eliminated.
So he got new life.
He got new life, oh. And he nailed it. So shout out, Faison Zaki, 13 years old, spelling a word I've never heard of.
No.
615-737-1025. Okay. One texter is in, before we go to break, one texter insists that I read his dad joke on the air.
And I, and is I am it borderline?
I'm going to make sure that it is appropriate. If women with big, you know what.
Fill in the blank.
Work at Hooters, where do women with one leg work?
Where do a woman with one leg work?
IHOP. And, oh, boy.
That was bad.
Yeah.
I was going to say something like a butt-kicking farm or something. I don't know.
Anyway, 615-737-1025. I do want to follow up on something that Derek and I talked about the other day as it relates to rookie quarterbacks and making the playoffs. So we'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.